pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Good morning, my fellow patriots, and welcome to episode 6. Hey, today we're going to talk about reviving the warrior within, which is the American spirit. So be sure to chime in with your knowledge and experience. Just email us at podteam@theconstitutioncommandos.org. I'm your host, Chris Williams. My brother Patrick is your co-host. And together, we are the Constitution Commandos.
I really am excited about this direction that we're taking now, because I feel that instead of me getting on here and bitching, griping, and complaining and pointing out things that the people that listen to us already know, we're not making a difference. We're in an echo chamber. And this way, I hope I can share knowledge with somebody that has no knowledge. I'm trying to break it down in a manner for somebody that has no training. And that way they can digest it, process it, and hopefully gives them a direction to start building knowledge.
And motivate people to look into this stuff and take advantage of some of the information they're given. Look, I'm all about helping other people. And I understand there's not a lot of people that really give a shit about you helping them. But it was a question of me, my family, my kids, whatever. I would like to know that somebody would take an interest in that. So that's where I am.
Yeah, you got to have allies, man.
I'm not looking for pats on the back. I'm just you or any other veteran I know. We don't give a damn about accolades. We don't give a shit about ticker tape parades. Don't even try to give me praises in my name, okay? A lot of the awards and the medals that I got, even when I was in the Army, I wanted to give them back. It didn't mean anything to me. All I was doing was my job. So that's the way I look at this, but it's not a job. It's an oath I took. And if my word means nothing, then who am I?
Well,
and if it means helping other people be able to take care of themselves, take care of their families, possibly work as a community, wherever we may end up, if that's what it takes, I'm good with that.
And see, this is the other thing about it, this direction on our podcast now. I mean, and first off, any nation that thinks they're going to invade America is a foolish nation. And it has got nothing to do with America's the greatest country in the world. It's got nothing to do with we're impenetrable. It's got nothing to do with any of that. We have enemies all over the world. I'm not ever going to say that none of our enemies would ever try.
But will.
But attacking, okay, this is what I'm getting at, basically. Let's say it is a far-fetched idea. There's so many reasons tactically that America is almost impossible to invade, okay?
There's too many reasons, actually, but go ahead.
Yeah, but let's say that we have a Red Dawn moment. Let's say the information that we're passing on to people, let's say that we get enough community engagement. Let's say that there is enough people out there, average Joes, that, honest to God, put some of this stuff into practice. Right. This is almost like building a militia in a sense. not just for self-preservation, but preservation of this country. And don't think I'm bullshitting. I don't think anybody can invade America. I really have a hard time.
Yeah, not with any level of success. Plan of success. Yeah,
they might be able to try to invade certain areas. I have a hard time thinking.
I still have a hard time with that one.
They would never be able to push into the deep interior. It would just be impossible. Not without a land bridge. And then on top of that, they would have so many geographical obstacles that are just almost impassable. So anyway, regardless, I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility, but the more people in this country that are trained, and be selfish, look out for your own interests, by all means, don't let people take advantage of you or take what you got if it's a survival situation. But if we ever wound up in a situation like that, it's basically our differences can be put on a back burner, and the enemy of my enemy is my new friend. So we'll have a common goal. It may be a uniting moment, but
be honest, I think we already have a common goal. I just think, and I could be wrong, but I think we already have a common goal. We just don't understand that. How is it you put it? We may all have a different way of going about it, but we do have a common goal. I mean, that my thing is this. The American spirit was born before America, okay? And the thing about the American spirit, I don't guess there's really words for a description for the American spirit, but I do know this. Many other countries around the world have desired the same thing that we have. And what I think is important to understand, too, is that the American spirit is not dead. But the people who possess the American spirit have not figured out yet that it's under attack, right?
Yeah.
And for that American spirit to actually be revitalized, it probably is going to take what's coming down the pipes, right? And I really want to see the American spirit revived. What did you call us? Colonials?
Yeah, we are colonials. Oh,
we're
my goodness.
Badasses.
Oh, I'm in the wrong lane. You got to be shitting me, man. Lady,
I wouldn't shit you,
she shouldn't have gotten in front of me anyway. She's from Tennessee. She pulled over in front of me. She likes to leave 300 yards in front of her between her and the next vehicle. And she was really irritating me. I wanted her to find a spot in the woods to park her vehicle. But
I saw one of those over on the interstate the other day. Right there on 55.
Yeah.
Went straight across the median and hit that K wall on the other side. I was like, 20 years ago, that would have been me that put them there. The American spirit is a beautiful thing. And it's amazing to me how so many people just don't see it right now. It really is a beautiful thing. We're going to see it again.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. We're going to see it again. Unfortunately, it's probably going to have to go to the extremes, but it will revive. Once again, not looking forward to it, though, because I know what we got to go through to get there.
We got wide open highway up there. We got four lanes of nothing going on. And we got between nothing going on and where I'm at, we got four lanes of people bullshit.
Yep. I said we covered a very wide range of
topics. But I'd like also people to, especially the people that have zero, right, have any type of interest in. A lot of people think it's just one of the role play or whatever.
All right, hold on. You just went
good.
You went out for a second.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
All right. A lot of people know what airsoft is, but it is a good resource for the average civilian to go to. You got to buy gear. The little BBs hurt when you get shot while. Buy your gear. Be safe with it. But start going to these airsoft ranges. You will meet combat veterans. You will meet police officers and SWAT officers. You will meet people that have levels of training that do airsoft to maintain a level of situational awareness and things like that.
Not just that, you can go to paintsoft. They have war games with
it. They do with paintballs. Yeah. The airsoft, you can get rifles that actually have a straighter trajectory. The airsoft BBs are less effective and they're high enough velocity. You don't want to go into airsoft. See, paintball, a lot of people will use goggles and no helmet, or they'll go in there with no real chest plates or body kit. what they call it, body armor.
I just threw that out there as an option if you don't have the airsoft around.
If you have airsoft around or paintball,
yeah,
go to these ranges, talk to people, find groups of veterans that utilize these resources, ask them to help you out to get you rigged out with gear, to have a good functional kit. Ask them to teach you movement skills, formations, movement, how to clear buildings. These are all things that will teach you combat situations, and you would be surprised. Get shot a couple times in one of those environments, and you'll understand that it's not pleasant. So it becomes very real in a sense. Absolutely. You will feel that the adrenaline rush. You will get yourself in a position to where you might be pinned down and you're freaking out. You get shot, you're not going to die, but it hurts, so you're not going to want to get shot. You'll be like, oh, I'm pinned down.
I was just in Fort Polk. We didn't use live rounds. We didn't use soft nothing. We didn't use paintballs. It was Miles gear and blanks.
Yep.
And I'm going to
tell you, General Dynamics laser tag.
I think I called you when I first got back from Fort Polk. I was like, I ain't never been so freaked out in my damn life. It wasn't actually a war situation, but
it is a war simulation.
That's it's exactly a war simulation, but without live rounds even, and with just Miles gear. And you say just Miles gear, but you put yourself in that high intensity situation and you're going to pucker up.
That's what used to make the American fighting man the most dangerous soldier on the planet, was because we actually we have a bigger budget than like 70 something countries put together. But
for war training,
things like that put you into situations that are emulating the actual battlefield of the theater that you're going to be looking at.
That's right.
And it puts you in positions that when you are actually in theater of combat, that you are so well rehearsed that it is you respond. It's muscle memory. It's
you don't panic.
You're going to panic, but you'll handle it better.
Right.
Your training kicks in.
Your training says, I've been through something like this before.
You react better
and
calmer than you would if you were just straight out of boot camp thrown into a combat situation. So for even the average civilian, I don't even care if you like me and you've been in the military, got out 20 years ago and you want to brush up on your skills, find an airsoft community, find a paintball community, go out there and get engaged. These people are not out there. They don't hate you. If you talk to them, you will get a lot of assistance. You will get a lot of information and knowledge. But always
let me have one thing that too, because these guys just, and a lot of them are, a lot of them have been through a lot of specialized training, and they're not going to look down on you because you haven't. Okay. They know that their knowledge is beneficial to you, and they are willing to help you. They're not going to dog you because you did not do what they did.
That's because right.
Plain and simple, not everybody is it. Not everybody can do what they did. It's a very few number of people. So they don't look at you any less than they are, and they will be willing to train you. And they are very good at what they do.
And they just understand that you have less experience.
That's right.
So if you do get absorbed in a small team of people that do airsoft regularly, they might put you on point. Don't look at that as a bad thing. Young guy always gets point when you're in the military in a live situation, and that's usually the first guy that gets hit. But take that opportunity to learn. Situational awareness is what helps. But that point guy is vital for the survival of everybody else on the team. You are the sacrificial lamb, but believe me,
the most important lamb on the field.
Yeah, you get shot in an airsoft or a paintball situation, you will live to see another day. You get shot in a combat situation, you might die. So look at it as you get shot. Understand why you got shot. We call it an AAR, after action review. So if you're with some seasoned professionals after a combat simulation in an airsoft or a paintball setting, have an R. Sit down. Keep your mouth closed unless you're asking questions.
Or being asked a question. The bottom line is you're there to learn.
Yeah, that's the point. You want to absorb more than you spout. Now, granted, you will have a lot of questions. Ask those questions at the appropriate time. If somebody's giving you and their version, their perspective of what went wrong, they will also give you their perspective of what you did right. So listen and learn from it.
Yeah.
Because these are very, they're real scenarios that you get to live from.
And they're probably the most critical to your survival. Really, they are.
There are very few airsoft that I can think of do things like evasion. I'm sure they do evasion to a point to get to an objective before they have contact. But you can't even begin to say how useful that tool would be. That's all I'm saying.
How many times have you been through an AAR?
Oh, man, I have hundreds of AAR. Every time we had an exercise or a deployment, we have AARs.
And I bet you said it every one of them. Man, I'm getting so tired of these sons of bitches.
I knew the importance of them. I knew the importance of them. My ears were wide ass open. I did have questions at times, but I made sure that I directed.
Most of my questions actually got answered before the end of the AAR. And quite frankly, now you remember where I was at. I didn't do anything like you did, but. No. I was sitting on a tarmac doing an AAR. A lot of what I learned, surprisingly, came from what other people did, whether it be right or wrong. And the AAR was beneficial for me. I used to look forward to going to an AAR, to be honest with you, because I learned what I needed to know.
Absolutely. And if you get engaged in these types of war-themed games like airsoft or paintball, another thing, if you get engaged with a team, one specific team, and you're going out there all the time with the same group of fellas, you'll very likely have op order briefing. There will be some type. I haven't participated in airsoft. I would like to, but I don't know of where an airsoft range is in my area. More than likely, there will be an objective. Yeah. More than likely, there will be some type of an objective, and you'll have multiple teams. Your team will have an objective. Your team isn't going to sit there and probably have an open meeting with the other teams. You'll probably be off your team by themselves, and y'all will have somebody, anybody that's a veteran or current military that participates in this, I would be willing to bet that they operate in those environments with a chain of command. You will be somewhere in that chain of command, and one guy will give an op order briefing. This is our key objective. This is, we break contact until we get there. We evade. We do. If there is an op order briefing or a pre-operation briefing, they will tell you what the objective is and what each person in the team's role is. So,
which is perfect to every mission.
Absolutely. You take your op order briefing. I don't care if you got to have a notepad, because believe me, soldiers carry notepads. They take notes. Take your notes. Listen, and then when you get into your war simulation, execute on what they said. And if you're unclear on what your specific mission is,
ask
before it starts. Then when you go to an AAR, you've already been briefed on the mission. Then you executed the mission. Now you get to find out, what are your shortcomings? What do I need to do better? How as a team can we work to better? What did I do that left my team members in the lurch? How do I correct that so I can lift the whole team? How do I become more of a benefit or an asset? These are all important things. But
that's right.
If you can find yourself an airsoft community, that would be an awesome resource. Awesome.
I'll tell you what, I'm gonna be looking for one. I'm not familiar with the airsoft community, but I do know we have several paintball places around here.
Yeah, no, your airsoft community. And I don't know if you're familiar with the equipment, dude. You get ARs, you can get freaking, man.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the equipment because you can get it from like Temu and Amazon.
It's real looking, okay? It puts you in a combat. The equipment looks real, and you can actually buy things like real armor carriers, plate carriers. A lot of people that do that, they train with real plate carriers. So it's not a lot of them that do that.
You have to move with it. You need to be able to go with it.
That's right. You have to be able to train like you will fight.
That's right.
And a lot of people that are in the airsoft community, they do it to keep skills honed, and they do it for real world situations. So they train with real equipment.
For the next episode, then I'll make sure that I have some locations found for that type of thing.
Yeah, I would love to get engaged in some airsoft stuff. I wouldn't even mind starting my own team. I don't care how experienced they are or how inexperienced they are. I think it would be pretty fun.
Hey, look, I think the least inexperienced people will be the most important ones to have, to be honest, because aren't we like reverse engineering right now? You know what I mean? The
well,
people
I would
that
like
are
to
least
have...
experienced need to really have the training as much as we do.
Yeah, but one of the things you got to be careful about, because you don't know who you're training mentally. You don't know their mindset about everything. And what I mean by that is, if you teach somebody bad habits, it's hard to break bad habits for some people. And I, with my limited knowledge, don't get me wrong, I've got a great deal of knowledge because of what I did and the training that I did go through while I was in the airborne. I went through a lot of specialized training, but I don't want to teach somebody with minimal to no experience and then have them say, oh, I was taught by this paratrooper and this is it.
No,
you know, this is the, no,
I know where
I want people that can take the information I got, apply that information, and then I want people maybe less experienced, and I want people more experienced, because I want to learn also.
That concludes our discussion today, and we appreciate you for listening. We want to hear your views and comments about today's episode. Just send us an email to podteam@theconstitutioncommandos.org. Also, visit podchaser.com to rate and review our podcast. Let us know how we're doing. It only takes a moment, but it helps us tremendously. Until next time, and on behalf of my brother and myself, we're the Constitution Commandos. We're signing off.